When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever time it is when you're listening to this. It's one of the downsides of podcasts. I'm never really sure when people are listening. You're listening to Press X to continue. It is the gaming podcast that is perfect for you, no matter what your experience or your ability in games is. You could be a regular player, or you could be someone that just plays the odd game on your phone now and again. It doesn't really matter. This is the place for you. Come and join the Continue Club and be an Exy Beast. My name is Stefan Powell, and with me once again is the actor, comedian, and streamer Einel Tomlinson. Hello, Einel.
Hello, hello. I will tell you where I listen to my podcast. I like to listen to this one while I'm driving.
Do you? Are you a driving podcast guy?
Driving podcaster, yeah. I usually do long journeys, and so like a podcast is the perfect length.
Yeah. And now, Einel, before we introduce Dave, who was with us again this week, I'm getting some pushback. Ooh. About the whole grand strategy, me not liking long games thing.
Mate, you put it out there.
I've been living away in a hotel at the moment, and I've been playing, and I downloaded on my gaming laptop, Warhammer Total War to play while I'm away. And obviously, yep. I've spent a lot of time in this podcast sort of slagging off long games, and grand strategy games are by their very nature long.
The biggest.
But I just want to explain myself just briefly. In my reason for doing it is because different to a story-driven game is I feel like a grand strategy game is I can finish it at whatever point that I think my story that I've created is finished. Do you see what I mean? Whereas if I'm playing a story-driven game or one that is narratively driven, then I feel compelled to get to a certain point. And if that takes me hours, that's when I get a problem. I know I'm digging myself a hole here, but I just wanted to sort of try and differentiate.
Oh, no, because like one of my favorite strategy games of all time was Command & Conquer Red Alert. And I was like, you have to finish the campaign. I need to see the next FMV cutscene.
That had amazing FMV cutscenes as well. Dave, is there some logic in my... Do you see what I mean? Like... grand strategy games, I felt like I could dip in and out of it. You know, if only one night we wrap late, so I can only play an hour. One night we wrapped early, so I could do four. Do you know what I mean?
When the fun stops, stop.
Well, the fun has stopped, and I have stopped now.
I see what you mean. Like, exactly. Grand strategy games, you play until you feel like you've won.
Yeah.
Sometimes the game will say you've won when you painted the map, you know, red, or your own faction colour.
Yeah.
Great. But sometimes I know what you mean. I've not every Total War campaign I've started, I've not finished them all. I've finished them until I've got the cool units and I've had my fun.
I did once. I can remember. I was very proud because I did paint the map yellow as Spain when I was playing medieval Total War back in the day. And then one side won essentially.
You need to try Crusader Kings, my friend.
Yeah, well, I've tried. I like Crusader Kings 2 because you can play as Wales, and it's really hard. That's really hard playing as Wales. That's too hard.
I've tried to do a run in Crusader Kings 3 playing as Wales, and
Crusader Kings 3. Excuse me, the latest one.
Yeah, the latest one is 3.
Is that like playing like as a division team in Football Manager?
Yeah. It's like starting non-league.
Yeah. Where you start like immediately at war with another half of Wales and England.
Yeah.
So you're just waiting for the Normans to invade and bide your time, thinking, I'll get out of this sooner or later.
Yeah.
But it's one of the hardest ways to play.
I played it as well on the Xbox because I had it when my son was born, and it was like a good game to play. And it's a bit fiddly without the mouse and keyboard. But look, I just wanted to explain myself. That's why I was playing a grand strategy game. Okay, I haven't abandoned my you know principles on this podcast or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to get all shirty about it.
But also, it was quite like nostalgic to play when you know, like Dave was when he was playing it in his caravan. I'm playing it, you know, I'm at home and in a hotel. It just felt quite nostalgic, and I had a lovely time with it. Anyway, enough about me. Dave, it is your turn for an unpopular gaming opinion. What is it? Take it away.
My unpopular gaming opinion is item degradation is actually a good thing. A lot of games just implement it badly.
Okay, interesting. Go on.
I think it's got a bad rap because of Breath of the Wild. Oh. It annoyed a lot of people during Breath of the Wild, and it's made people forget all of the good ways it's been implemented. Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas gave a purpose to finding all of these weapons across the wasteland because you scrapped them and repaired your own. In games like Escape from Tarkov, Stalker, DayZ, survival games, games that add that have a layer of authenticity and realism, a broken weapon could jam and completely change the dynamic of a fight. It immerses you so much more into games like that. In survival games, it might be a choice between I can only afford this health item. I can't afford to repair my gun. It's a conscious thing that you have to consider before going into a fight. Even in games like Dark Souls, I think that there was weapons, your weapons would degrade in that and you'd have to repair them. Because it was so basic, people never really cared about it. To the point that Elden Ring got away with item damage altogether. But in the games that it's implemented well, it can either completely change the way a game plays, or it's implemented so seamlessly into the survival elements, the looting elements of the world, that you don't even notice. People just have this opinion, and it's because of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so basically you're saying Breath of the Wild ruined it for everyone.
Exactly. I've been saying that for years. Finally someone agrees with me. We've been all tortured by that sound of your sword breaking when you've been hitting a goblin or something.
Yeah.
But it's just that one game that it's really bad in, but there are so many games where item degradation works so well.
I'm finding it interesting that I know the further we get away from Breath of the Wild, the more diverging opinions are starting to come out. Because at the time, it was pretty much universal. Like, everybody, this game's amazing. This is changing the scene. And then longer we go from it, more people are coming out of the woodwork and be like, yeah, I didn't really like it, actually. I just didn't want to say it at the time.
I do agree with Dave, though, because like when games do it right, it is fantastic. I always remember Far Cry 2, where you could just buy the guns brand new, or if you killed a rebel, you could just pick up their gun and use it. But because their guns were dirty or secondhand, they could jam at any time. There was no rhyme or reason. It would just random when it would jam, and then it could backfire. You could injure yourself. It could like explode in your face at any point. And so that was the danger of using secondhand guns and why you'd want to buy new ones. So yeah.
Far Cry 2 is a great shout.
I think using it, thinking of it in that sense in terms of, because you often think of it when it comes to swords or axes or like hand-to-hand stuff, right? But the nature of it in a gun essentially does change it slightly, doesn't it? That is interesting.
Well, look, dangerous.
But even in
dangerous.
Monster Hunter, your items will get blunt during a fight and you have to sharpen them. It's a bit weird when you have to sharpen a hammer, I will admit. It's supposed to be blunt. But even then,
it works for the swords.
You have to like backtrack away from the monster, find a little, you know, a little bit of quiet, skulk away, try to find an opportunity to sharpen your weapon so you can keep doing damage. That, again, works really well.
Well, look, let us know what you think of Dave's unpopular opinion. Maybe degradation of weapons and games is just having a bad rep because of Zelda Breath of the Wild. What do you think? Do you agree with him? Do you disagree with him? Let us know. You know what to do. Find us on social media, Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok, Press X Podcast on Instagram. Get involved in the Discord as well. We would love to hear from you. Agree or disagree with Dave. It is always a good, fun, nice conversation to have.
Stefan, you are stoking the fires of these Zelda fans, man.
I'm not.
You know these Zelda fans.
Just this divergent opinion was Dave's, by the way.
Yeah,
it wasn't us.
Irregular Dave.
Dave.
He lives at B.
Don't direct at me.
feel free to direct it at Dave. Or we could do with the traffic, actually. So come and find us on TikTok. That's fine. Now, we've had some other brilliant ones coming through on the Discord. This one from David, who says,
Different David.
Different David. Sorry.
Just clarifying.
This is different David. Open world games are less fun than games where you're railroaded into where to go next. The paralysis of choice leaves me scared that I'll miss things in the open world. In single track games, I can relax knowing that I get to play the things I'm supposed to play and I'm going to play each bit at the right time. I can see where David's coming from. I can see where David's coming from.
I sort of get it, especially in modern open world games. The first one I thought of was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That was like, there was too much in that.
But too many icons on the screen. I found a little bit the same with Cyberpunk, I'm afraid. I found a bit too much like, going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get choice anxiety.
And especially in those games where it's sometimes exciting hearing about like, oh, I went down this path or I went to this part of the map and I discovered this weird little Easter egg or this little side quest. And it can either be like, oh, cool, I didn't know that was there. Or if like me, I'm like, oh, so gutted I didn't see that. And I've gone to a different part of the game. That's why in Fallout, I'm going into every room, every building. I'm looking through every chest of drawers. I'm peeping in through wardrobes because I don't want to miss anything.
I think
if it is just dirty pre-war hats and trousers. Yeah.
Over-encumbered again. Damn.
Yeah, that's me.
I think it, like certain games can do it well. Like Elden Ring, I think, did it well, where in terms of massive map, but like you could just go anywhere you want, and then when you did go somewhere where you wasn't really supposed to go, you just get beaten up, and then, all right, maybe I shouldn't go there. But like the sense of discovery that you can get from those type of games, unrivaled. You can't get them in like those railroaded single-player kind of games.
I do get the sense of simplicity that David's talking about, though, that you can just trust the game is showing you everything that it's got to show. And you don't have to worry about, should I go this way? Should I go that way?
Yeah.
I get that can be a more relaxing experience.
I thought...
Although, I always find in those games, whenever like it's very on rails, whenever you get a choice of going left or right, and they say, yeah, let's go left, you always go right to see what's there. If there's any secrets hidden in the cubbies.
And then question my own thought process and go back again.
Whenever you're following like an NPC and then it's like, and they turn left, you turn right. Every time.
I think two games that did it really well, I think the perfect blend for me is games that have open world spaces that allow you to go off and explore them if you want to. But actually you can have a fairly linear experience in them if that's your bag. I thought The Witcher 3 did that really well, in my opinion. You could just pretty much mainline the story and have a pretty good experience. I also thought Red Dead Redemption 2 did the same. There was so much for you to go off and explore, but also if you just wanted to mainline the story, you could just do that and then go and explore it afterwards. So
I'd say God of War as well. Did that?
Yeah, really God of War. Good one. Yeah. Good. I'd say God of War was more on the linear side than the open side as well, but I enjoy, definitely the new God of War. Yeah, good shout. So that one's from David. And then Blue Boo is suggesting this. Games shouldn't be available on advanced release for additional cost. They ask you to pay what is sometimes almost half the price of the game on top of the price just to get it a few days early. I know they use this time to fix bugs and stuff, but I don't want to pay to do the developer's work for them. Pick a release date and stick to it for everyone.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, go on, Blue Boo.
It is sort of frustrating when you go to pre-order a game now or just something new's coming out. It's like, play 3 days early and you pay X amount of more money. And I know, surely, when GTA 6 comes out, it's going to be, hey, the game is like 60 quid. Play it 3 days early, 100 quid. And so many people are going to play early.
That's going to be the majority of the sales.
It's FOMO thing, right? Yeah. And I know what they mean. Sometimes because sometimes those early periods come before like a day one patch. But I don't even think it's development time. I think it's purely more money for FOMO.
Yeah, easy marketing.
And it's capitalizing on that like first to bat for like content creators. They've got to be streaming day one, and then they're playing into the FOMO because all their viewers are watching them like, oh, well, now I want to play, and if I want to play the same time my favorite streamer's playing, I've got to get in early. It's one of those elements in modern games. I'm sounding like a right old dar now that does sort of annoy me, that and calling a demo a beta.
Yeah, yeah, it's a demo. Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah, absolutely. No need for it. It's called a spade. It's a demo. It's a demonstration of it. Yeah, it just sounds a bit shinier if it's a beta, does it? It's the same thing. But look, Dave touched upon GTA 6 there, so tell us, let's get a little update on GTA 6, shall we?
The Press X to continue. GTA 6 update. Theft Auto 6 is unlikely to feature an opera station on the radio.
Probably.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Cammy for that in-depth update on GTA 6. Now, we're going to start again with another bit of trivia for you. So let's set the mood with some music.
Who wants to be a continuer?
So as ever, we're going to give you the answer to this question at the end of the podcast. If you'd like to put a suggestion forward as a question that we will try and answer here in the podcast, you can do that in the Discord server. There is a channel there for you, isn't there, Einel?
There is. And I am very... I absolutely love the Discord. Like, I know I always say all the time, like, the Discord is nice. The people in there are, like, chit-chatting. But it's actually the nicest Discord channel I've ever been in, period.
It's lovely. Except there is one channel that we can't see, which really annoys
us. We don't talk about that.
We talk about it every week.
No. If anything, we need to get rid of that channel.
I was told by one of the producers that there are two channels you can't see.
Ah,
you what? There's another one.
Don't you start.
Stare in the bot.
Our own show, don't even get to see. Anyway, so the question, and there's some loads of really good ones coming. I mean, it makes sense why it's in there, so we don't get to see the question beforehand, so we can't cheat, right? Fair enough, I guess. So this one, this week, is this question. It says, what did the arcade game Space Invaders, we're going all the way back to 1978 for this one, what did the arcade game Space Invaders do that its rival Seawolf, which came out before it in 1976, couldn't do? So what could Space Invaders do that Seawolf, a rival game, couldn't do? So we all, everybody knows what Space Invaders is, of course. Seawolf was basically a sea-based shooter. You'd shoot torpedoes at ships. The faster the ship, the more points you were awarded for a hit, basically. So if you don't know what Seawolf is. And what was the difference between those two then? Have a guess. We will give you the answer before the end of the podcast. Right, now, I don't know if you've seen this story knocking around recently, but a Twitch streamer whose progress on Football Manager with his local lower league club has been rewarded, okay, because he's been asked to be the club's chairman in real life, which I think is fantastic. And more of this, please. So he's called Aaron Hunt. He's from Bolton, and he's now the chairman of Northwest Counties team Daisy Hill FC after taking them up through the leagues on his streams. Which is fantastic. So I wanted to know how gaming has helped you in real life. And recently we had a question, didn't we, Einel? A trivia question said the surgeons felt more equipped to do their job. If they played games. So, Dave, has gaming ever helped you in real life? Maybe you're not now the chairman of your local league football club, but how has it helped you?
I only passed GCSE history because of Age of Empires 2.
Oh.
I genuinely,
you know what, I've heard that as well. A few people have told me Age of Empires
about Joan of Arc for GCSE history because I was playing so much Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first games that sort of ignited an interest in history and playing historical games. So that is probably definitely an early one.
Yeah.
Now there's definitely like weird tidbits of factoids that I've picked up from playing like historical games. And I think games as a learning tool has been big for me. Like as a jump off point to learn about history. As tangible skills go though, I'm not sure it's granted me any of those. Patience. I probably learned patience with some of my co-op teammates. That's probably hopefully gonna serve me well in the future. I won't name names because they are still some of my friends, but
I love what you said. Still,
yeah. being able to bite your tongue, or a little creative storytelling. So, have you ever had that moment where you're playing a game together? Maybe you're like playing Marvel Rivals or Overwatch or something, and it could have been you guys. And you're like, "What is that tank doing?" And your boy goes, "That's me." and you've got to craft some, like, oh, no, the other tank.
Yeah, the other tank.
Oh, no, I was looking at someone else. I didn't mean you. You've got to weave your way out of that situation.
The other Hulk.
Yeah. No, I was talking about Venom. I'm Venom. No, the other Venom. Oh, no. You've got to try and wriggle your way out of a situation. That's a good life skill.
Yeah. It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, talking about the education stuff, I mean, Assassin's Creed with some of its recent games is amazing, isn't it? And I think it's definitely learning through play. It is a fantastic... I mean, it's given me a real skill. So I played loads of Madden NFL growing up. And now one of my jobs is to commentate on the NFL for the BBC. And, like, I wouldn't know as much about the NFL if it wasn't for Madden. In fact, NFL has used... its growth in the UK, a lot of it is down to the video game Madden, because the way it gives you an insight into a sport that you weren't able to access in this country much of the time. That's changed now, obviously. So, absolutely learning stuff about sport through play.
I learned the rules of American football by playing Madden on the Mega Drive, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember reading a story about someone practicing for their driving practical in Forza.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because it's just a chance of, like, you simulating stuff. But you're right, I think... Creativity, I think it's helped with me. Like, when I was playing football manager as a kid, like, I wouldn't play as Stefan Powell manager. I had two managers I would play. I would either be my obviously you didn't see him, because this is Championship Manager back in the day. It was basically just a spreadsheet, like we were talking about the other day. But my manager would be called Sir Maurice Silverwood, MBE.
Sir Maurice Silverwood.
I would be Sir Maurice Silverwood, MBE.
Is that your alter ego?
That was my football manager alter ego. Or if I went in a more tracksuit bottom sort of a coach, I would have Alan Hudson. Alan Hudson would be my other one.
Sunday League.
Yeah, Sunday League guy. I don't know if Aaron Hunt went with his own name when he was looking after Daisy Hill FC in his climb up through the divisions. But I just think, like, creativity, like, it certainly helped me in that sense. I don't know about you, Arnel.
Yeah, no, it's definitely helped with me. One of the things I do, practicing my... I love playing JRPGs on Twitch when I'm streaming, and I love to voice every single character as a way of me... practicing my different voices and accents and different things, and so when I go into, like, professional settings, I'm more than ready to kind of, like, I've got some ideas for a character I could use. And also, because I got, like, dyslexia as well, and, like, sight reading is, like, a crazy thing for me, so when I'm having to do, like, sight reading while doing Twitch constantly, I'm constantly doing that. So as soon as I go into a professional setting, especially with, like, voicing video games, you don't often get to see the scripts in advance a lot of the time, or when you do, it's like the day before, like, here you go, boom, and here's 100 pages of what we're gonna do tomorrow. And so, like, being able to kind of sight read in a professional way is one of the skills that you need to kind of really have. And so it's like, for me, like, video games has really helped me out with that, in just terms of just, like, voicing different characters, and also just, like, going through some, like, weird names, especially with these different franchises. They always have very specific different types of names, or way of naming various different kind of things that are specific to those franchises that you need to get right. And there's nothing worse than having, like, a voice actor that is naming, like, an iconic character and pronouncing it wrong. It's like,
Dave would have noticed if your Dark Angel was saying the wrong phraseology.
Listen, I did not want to get Warhammer wrong.
You know what I mean? So you had to get that right.
Not get that wrong.
it is interesting. I mean, you know, not often are we, like, having to craft potions in real life and gather the right, you know, whatever. But I definitely think there's stuff in there, there's soft power that the games can give you. And I get this a lot when parents ask me about, you know, when their kids should start gaming or whatever. And I talk a lot about, like Dave was saying, communication skills. Learning to lose is actually such an important skill, because we lose a lot in life. You lose out on a job, you lose out on your driving test, you lose out on whatever. And you just get used to that when you play video games, don't you? And you learn to deal with it and stuff. So I think that is...
Hold on, Stefan.
You might.
Let's be real. There's a lot of players out there that ain't learning.
I lose all the time, Dave.
There's a lot of players.
I lose all the time.
Sorry, that was low hanging.
But I know what I know you're going to say. I know a lot of players, they don't like losing on video games.
Well, that in itself is a good skill to have. The amount of, you know, vitriol that gets spewed at you in a multiplayer game.
Yeah, dealing with it is, I suppose.
Shrugging it off and just, you know, just dealing with it.
I think the art of trash talking has been lost when with online gaming. Like in person, like trash talking is absolutely amazing when you're trash talking friends and if you're playing a game together in the same room. The atmosphere and the vibes is impeccable. You can't replicate that online, especially with strangers, because it's just not the same.
Yeah, maybe. Well, look, let us know. When has your gaming experience helped you in real life? Have you ended up as the chairman of your local football club as well?
there's partners to so many people that are playing Football Manager that are hating this news. Yeah. Hating it.
You know, I keep going, love. I might get the call.
I'm almost there.
For every one of those, though, there is also someone that has proven they've got good interior design chops because they built a cute Sims house, though.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Very true, Dave.
I spent a lot of time making sure my Sims houses were nice. You know, I didn't just whack throw things.
I mean, I thought my Sims houses were cool, but I don't think I'd look at Dave's Sims 2 saves now and think I'd live in that.
I want to see Dave send us some screenshots. Yeah. I want to see it.
That looks pretty good, Dave. What council tax band is that?
Me and Ian are both looking at new houses at the moment, so maybe we can share some interior design.
Yeah, Dave, you could come around and give it a once-over.
I'll play put in as well, Dave.
A good strat, though, is when you're doing interior decorating or painting or putting furniture together, put on the Sims build music. Feels good.
Should it be in the playlist?
Should it?
I think it should. That's what I do my housework to. Either that or, as I said last week, Doom.
Yeah.
I'm a man of many flavors.
That is quite the jump.
You can tell what mood Dave's in when
the
music
same playlist. Don't put that one in the shuffle. That'll confuse you.
Well, I'm trying to build a playlist that weaves and moves and sort of takes you on a journey.
Oh, there's weaving.
Yeah, okay. That's quite a lot of... That's a handbrake turn in there, isn't it? So look, let us know what you think about that. Have you sort of got experience of using your gaming skills in the real world? We'd love to hear from you. So loads of chat going on in the Discord at the moment that we are absolutely loving. So big up to everybody that is in there, the comments, that takes part as part of the community. We love seeing all your messages. And also, we don't say this enough, I know, but big shout out to the team that help us put Press X together.
So many people behind the scenes. Thank you.
Yeah, so to Owen, who makes all the visuals you'll ever see, that's all Owen's handiwork. Also has got a motion capture studio, so you should check that out. And to David and Cammy that help put the shows together, and Mel helps sort of corral the community together, and DJ and DW in the Discord.
Yeah, all our mods in the Discord.
All the mods. Yeah. We love you all. Thank you very much for all the hard work keeping us, keeping the lights on. We really appreciate it. And now in that Discord, we've got these messages, okay? Alex Timperley says this: in my pile of shame at the moment, I'm looking at Citizen Sleeper, Celeste, Stanley Parable, and I'm going to do them in the next couple of months. I can't wait to get in and around all of them. There's some absolute crackers in there, Alex. I would say about Celeste, amazing game. Flipping heck, Celeste's hard. Oh, God.
Great soundtrack, though.
I think we've got a Celeste.
Yeah, we do.
We have a Celeste one in there, or we were suggested. Celeste's hard, though, isn't it?
It is. But like, there's a lot of games in there where your first playthrough of those are magical. So I'm super excited for you to experience them, particularly like the Stanley Parable. Like the first time you played that, especially if you haven't seen any spoilers. And the deluxe version has come out recently as well. It's nice and crisp, ready for like 4K graphics.
How long is the Stanley Parable?
Office.
Yeah. How long is the Stanley Parable?
About 4 hours, if that.
Let's get on the list. Thank you very much.
Another short one for you.
Dave, have you got a pile of shame?
I've had a Steam account for, 15, 16 years. That whole thing is a pile of shame. I just looked and there is 1,562 games on that. Let me tell you, I've probably played a couple hundred.
Tops.
Steam sales, man. You get a bundle. There are so many games that I've not played on Steam.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them probably aren't worth playing. They're probably something that was in a humble bundle that ain't the best game, or something I got on sale for 9p, or one of those sort of awkward games that your mate sends you as a sort of joke. and say, ah, now this is in your Steam inventory forever. This is an excuse, by the way. I realized as soon as I started this train of thought that it's going to sound like an excuse. I've got no shifty games like that on my Steam list.
Hey, no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone.
If you want to play it, you can play it.
What you do in your own time is entirely up to you. But we've been talking about trying to rephrase the idea of Pile of Shame, because it's like...
Pile of potential is a phrase that I like.
Okay, yeah, that's a
because
good
the, in the Warhammer community, it's your pile of models that you've not painted is your pile of shame. But pile of potential is a more positive spin on it, because potentially there's a game that you've missed that could change your life.
Yeah,
one for me is Outer Wilds. Actually, now thinking about it, still never played that. Yeah. That's been on my pile of shame for a while, and has glowing recommendations from like everyone that I mentioned it to.
BAFTA winner, wasn't it? What do we think of the phrase "pile of potential" as a potential pile of potential as a new change? If you're in the Continue Club, let us know. What do you think of that? Although Dave is an XC beast, so if you're an XC beast, what do you think of pile of potential?
I like that. I like that, Dave. It's nice.
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it. A bit of alliteration as well. I love it. Mark says in the Discord, I love Game Pass, but it's the gaming equivalent of dating apps. When people have lots of choice, they don't care about each one and they just move on.
Oh.
I think he's right.
Do you know what?
I'm a big Game Pass advocate, but I think Mark's right.
Same. I used to sing the praises of Game Pass all the time. Last year, I don't sing the praises no more because, like, I barely touch any of the games on there. And when I do, I put like 10 minutes, half hour, maybe an hour into a game, and then that's it, and I never touch it again. And I'm like, no, I can't. It's spoiling me.
With Game Pass, there aren't as many huge, like, oh my God, there's no Game Pass games anymore. There are more and more that, like you said, you'll spend like 20 minutes on them, think, this isn't for me. But the doors that it's opened for people, like Yakuza, being on Game Pass, I don't think the number of people that tried that game, and even if a fraction of them stayed with it and it resonated with them, Yakuza was always a sort of franchise, or Like a Dragon, as it's now known, was always sort of a franchise that felt a bit inaccessible. For games like that, that people are like, you know what, I've heard about this, I'll give it a shot, I'll give it a little look in. Those sort of games, I think Game Pass is really valuable. But I also see the other side is that sometimes there's either too much choice or none of it really sticks out. There are a couple that even this year, though, like Atomfall coming to Game Pass, Sniper League Resistance, great Game Pass game. Those are titles that I think work well on Game Pass, where I think that there is a lot of games on there now that are less sort of suited to that platform.
I think it's just the nature of digital ownership, though, right? Because I feel very the same about, like, I'm broadly very much pro Game Pass, but same with music. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I bought CDs and I owned them, I made an active choice what to listen to. Now I put my, like, a playlist on to listen to. I'm like, and then I end up just listening to the same stuff over again. And it's a bit like Game Pass, I just play the same stuff over again.
I'm with you, bro. I miss the days of where you used to swap games. You're like, hey, do you wanna borrow a game for a couple of weeks? Yeah, go on then.
Love that.
That's how I played Final Fantasy VII. I had Metal Gear Solid. My friend had Final Fantasy VII. We swapped it for like a month. I got to play Final Fantasy VII. He got to play Metal Gear. Like, that stuff never happens anymore.
My friend Will and I used to swap consoles.
Oh, okay. Oh, you hardcore with it, Dave.
Nice.
Hardcore with it.
I'd take his PS3. Because, you know, where else was I going to play Killzone? I'd let him sit with my 360 and play Halo.
That's a good swap.
I think he's won there, though, hasn't he?
It's a good swap,
over Killzone, I mean...
Yeah. You know, looking back,
we all made mistakes. We were all young. We were all young once.
He was nice enough to give it back. I'm not sure I would have been that kind.
That's the first time I played Brian Lara cricket and Jonah Lomu rugby. All was
PS1.
This was before that. This was Mega Drive.
Oh, you talking about? Oh, you going back?
Yeah, going back, swapping games.
See, swapping like Mega Drive games and N64 games. I remember not liking the idea that someone else is having to blow in the cartridge and that someone else's breath is going in my game.
If anyone's
going
to be blowing, it's going to be me.
Exactly.
Don't you blow on my cartridge? Thank you very much.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah. There'll only be one person blowing in that. And that's me.
The only danger I just didn't like is if, like, someone saved over your save game. That was the thing. Like, fight, there's a profile for you. Use that profile. Yeah. Don't save over my...
I wouldn't swap my... Kremo, I had Pokemon. I vividly remember this. Pokemon Blue. We were going on a long bus journey somewhere with school. I was playing it. I put it down. My mate was like, oh, can I have a little go at your Pokemon game? I was like, absolutely not. You are not going anywhere near that, my friend, because I don't want you doing anything that I wouldn't want to do. So, no, I'm afraid you can have any of the games you want. You can play Mario Tennis, fine, but you're not getting anywhere near my Pokemon Blue. Thank you very much.
You have the rubbish tennis game.
Mario Tennis is a banger.
Not on the Game Boy.
I loved it. On the Game Boy Advance, on the Game Boy Color, Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Color.
It was basic.
The RPG mode. Right, if you remember Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Color like I do and how brilliant it was, then come at me, you know.
Hey, listen, that and Mario Golf.
Oh, right. We need work. I know. I'm just coming to... When I'm winding down the podcast...
Who is this boy and who is this girl? Where's Mario?
It was an RPG game dressed up as a golf game. And you're playing against Wario and Waluigi.
To be fair, it was the original Golf Story. It was the original.
Yeah, Golf Story. It was the first game on the Switch. It was the first. Sorry. Excuse our little lovers tiff here, Dave. My bad, Dave.
Hey, my Game Boy Color was had its own foibles. Never had Mario Tennis on it, though, for what it's worth.
Mine was lime green. It was lovely.
I had lime green one and a see-through purple one. Sorry.
I didn't have the see-through one. They always used to freak me off for some reason. I don't know why.
Internals.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I felt
didn't want to see the internals.
Yeah, I was violating the Game Boy somehow. I don't know why. Right, so since we're talking about old games, kind of ties in nicely with this. We talked recently about Football Manager 25 being cancelled. It's also been announced since that Warner Brothers is restructuring and closing down some studios, and so the Wonder Woman game has been halted. And so there was a thread on Reddit recently, basically about what cancelled game, you know, makes you the saddest or whatever, essentially, you know, looking at the games. So a bit of nostalgia, looking at old games that have been cancelled. So what were the titles that were going to come out and didn't, that made you sad thinking about it? I'll start with you, Dave.
There was, I can't remember the name of it now. It was a Warhammer game that was basically going to be Warhammer Battlefield. Did you ever play that? Eternal Crusade. I was so excited for Eternal Crusade.
I played the beta at an E3 or at a Gamescom.
Yeah, it never came out beyond, like, it was still in early access when they cancelled it. But I was so excited for that. Battlefield gameplay in the world of Warhammer 40,000
would have been so good.
Incredibly well. Yeah. But Eternal Crusade, it was just stuck in sort of development hell. Budget wasn't matching up with new players, but it got so far. There was so much in it that was really good. It's basically the original Space Marine multiplayer gameplay. Throw in different classes, throw in vehicles, let you play as orcs, let you play as Chaos and Eldar. It was unbalanced, but it was so fun, and it oozed of potential. It wasn't there, I have to be real, but I was still brokenhearted that game was cancelled and never really got to see a full release.
Yeah, I've often wondered what happened to that. Actually, I sort of forgot about it, but I got quite excited by that when I first, years ago now, we first tried it. So that's a good one. One for you, Ynel?
I think the latest Crysis got cancelled recently. And I was like, oh, because it's been a while since we had a Crysis game. And I really loved the first one and the second one. Third one fell a bit flat for me, but I was looking forward to the fourth one. That and Time Splitters, man.
Oh, yeah.
When we heard that they shut down, was it last year? I was like, oh, mate.
I don't think we'll ever see another Time Splitters now, not for a while.
No,
will we?
It's too late. No.
There was rumours a little while ago, weren't there? But they've sort of been swept away.
Yeah, I think they were doing it, and then they got shut down. It was because they were part of Crytek. Like, they were like an offshoot, and then I think the game got...
Yeah, I think in the sort of a lot of the financial amalgamation or whatever the heck's going on in the background of the games industry, sadly there are games that are falling by the wayside. For me, there are two that made me a bit sad. Remember, there was, because this one, we saw a little teaser of it and it looked amazing and people got very excited because it was a very different type of game in this universe. Star Wars 1313, can you remember
that? I remember that, Amy Hennig.
Amy Hennig, who was Naughty Dog and Uncharted, right? was making this Star Wars game. It was going to be linear, it was going to be narrative. It was all very moody and sort of, it looked really dark and sort of suspenseful. I thought, that's going to be great. Didn't see the light of day, which was really sad. There was a StarCraft game. There was going to be a sort of a shooter called StarCraft Ghost. Because I enjoyed StarCraft as, you know, the real-time strategy game. And it feels like a space that Blizzard could have done more with. And they had there was going to be a shooting game in that space that they started working on. That one gone. So those were two that I was quite sad to see the back of.
Titanfall 3 is one that I'm so gutted about.
Not making Titanfall 3? Because Titanfall 2 was a banger and really successful.
Yeah, Apex Legends, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone say a bad word about Titanfall 2. And every time it goes on sale, I reinstall it because it has an influx of new players and I play it again for a while. Like Titanfall 3, it was so close to greatness.
Yeah, it's such a good multiplayer as well.
Yeah.
So the single player is amazing as well, but the multiplayer, so I've not played a multiplayer game where you can run around Call of Duty style, do wall running and things, shooting people real fast, and then jump in a mech and start punching up people.
That mech dynamic was really clever, and so it is odd to me that there's not space for more in that space, you know, more from that franchise. That'll make loads of money. Obviously, the famous one, the most famous one, is Silent Hills, which was going to be Hideo Kojima's Silent Hill game. And I know that a version of it was available as a demo on PS4, wasn't it? But we never saw that full game, and that's one that really gets people. Do you reckon they'll ever go back, Inel, and do that? Because Norman Reedus was going to be in that, wasn't he? Which is why he probably ended up working with him on Death Stranding.
He was, but I don't think Konami would ever give him the license to do it.
Oh, no, of course.
But people still sell their PS4s with that demo on it for big bucks.
I was literally just Googling that. There's one going now for 770 quid.
See what I'm saying? Big bucks.
Just because it's got PT still installed on it. This wasn't sold, though. Let me see if I can find one that was actually
sold.
Real live action journalism here from Dave.
All right, so there was one that was sold for 57 quid, so it's not quite as expensive.
took a serious loss there.
Yeah, maybe we just cut all that bit. So look, let us know about your nostalgia. What cancelled games are you saddest about? What would you have loved to have seen? Maybe you were really excited for Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Oh!
Maybe you really wanted to see Legacy of Kain Dead Son.
Oi!
You know, maybe you were desperate for Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Patriots.
Jesus!
Or Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Frontline.
Oh, Lord!
You know, maybe you're desperate for these games and they never happened. Let us know. Get in touch with us on social media or get in the Discord and share your thoughts with us. And so it's time to wrap up now with our Spotify playlist. So, Dave, you had your Doom, your track in there from Mick Gordon, Rip and Tear, your suggestion last week. From the Discord, Soul Beaver is suggesting the Skrillex and Damian Marley track from Far Cry 3.
Oh, the one when you're burning down the weed farm?
I'll take your word for it.
Iconic level?
Yeah.
It goes hard, slaps.
Very good. So we've definitely picking up the pace a little bit with some of these bangers, aren't we? Maybe there's definitely a bit of a theme.
We're staying quite modern as well. Not so many classic soundtracks in there these days.
Well, you just teed me up perfectly, I know. This one's from Callum, who says, Spyro's my favourite game of all time. The police drummer, Stuart Copeland, cooked on the music. And so he's suggesting a track called Dark Hollow. It might make it in. Cal, can't promise you anything. But
Spyro,
Police was on the Spyro soundtrack?
Apparently so.
It did have some good drums in it. Spyro, guys, that was
Still Copeland. Big Steel was on the drums. Now, if you want to find our playlist, just search on Spotify for the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist. Rolls off the tongue.
Ultimate.
You can follow it there. Also, there's a link to it in the Discord, so you could just find it there as well. It's probably easier. And you can just suggest your tracks in there, and then we can ignore most of them and put some of them in.
Hey, listen, there's some good suggestions.
Some good suggestions. Also, someone suggested the theme tune to Cannon Fodder from the 90s. So there's yin and yang, isn't there? You know?
Hello! Just here to let you know that at this point of the recording, Stefan kicked his microphone, and then it stopped working properly. Ha 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 ha! Jolly God!
Sorry, I got so excited by the thought of cannon fodder. I kicked my microphone. Right, let's finish up then. So earlier on the show, we sent you a trivia question. It is time now to reveal the answer. So what did the arcade game Space Invaders from 1978 do that its rival Seawolf 1976 couldn't do?
Oh, was it Space Invaders had sound and the other one didn't? I feel like I've watched a documentary about this, but I might be wrong.
Okay, sound. Dave, any ideas? Any?
I remember a big thing about Space Invaders where the enemies could move.
Okay, right, so it could be that. Well, let's have a look. This is the answer. Let's see if you got it right at home as well. Seawolf was the first game, according to the Guinness Book of Records, to record players' high scores. However, only the highest score was recorded, and it was replaced when it was beaten. Space Invaders was the first game to keep track of players' high scores and showed them in a leaderboard.
Okay.
So that's a good deep dive from the 70s there from someone in the Discord. Whoever you are, thank you very much for your question.
That hey, listen, can I say the standard of the trivia questions are absolutely fire.
Yeah, they're good.
Absolutely fire.
Good. There's no, you know, what colour was Pikachu going on?
None of that.
Very good, very good. Right, well, that is it for another episode of Press X to Continue. So don't forget to get involved. Message us on Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky, and Press X Podcast on Instagram. And remember, you can comment on our posts and we'll get you in the Discord then after that. And we'll have another retro episode for you on Thursday where we share our back catalogue with you on the first time those are going to be shared on new podcast platforms. And we will be back next Tuesday. Dave, thank you very much for being with you. We'll see you very soon. And remind people, where can they see your new stuff?
They can search for Watch EXP on YouTube or Patreon if you want all the full fat stuff. Or you can find me everywhere on social media at A Regular Dave.
Magic. And we will see you all very soon. Cheers, guys.
See you later.
Put on the Sims build music. That's what I do my housework to. Either that or, as I said last week, Doom, 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 Doom. Doom.